This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and if you would like to contact me, you can contact me through my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. The program can be re-listened to there. And you can reach me the old-fashioned way using Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we just hope that this year is a blessing to you. We don't know what a day may bring forth, but we've had a lot of problems in the last year, last 2 years really, and who knows what this year will bring, but this is the, if you're listening to this, this is the first day of a new year. It's arbitrary. It's an arbitrary calendar that we use. It's not a calendar that's given by God, but it does remind us that we've come through another year, we're starting a new year, and it's time to look forward and to make sure that we understand that we are right with God. Surely there's nothing more important than that, and as I look at the new year, I think of new beginnings. And we trust this program will help you think about those new beginnings, that it'll bless you, encourage you, and perhaps challenge you, because we know that new beginnings are important in the Bible. Second chances are important in the Bible. And we've been looking in this last year at important people that have spoken to me, whose lives have been a lesson to me throughout the years. And of course, the last one we've been looking at is the Lord Jesus. And we could spend all of our time on just studying the character and the characteristics and the life of the Lord Jesus. And it would be a blessing to all of us, particularly all of us who trust him. But I don't want to linger there. I hope that you have not only lingered at a manger this holiday season, but that you've lingered at an empty tomb, and that you have trusted in this one who says, "If I go away, I will come again." This one whom the angels said, "This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." They said that in Acts chapter 1 when he ascended into heaven. And it's been 2,000 years since the Lord made those promises through himself or through the angels. But that promise is still true. And Peter says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness or slowness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And since we all need to come to faith, it must be that coming to repentance and coming to faith are talking about the same thing, but one is talking about what we turn from and the other is talking about what we turn to. And we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important person that has ever been born on this earth. But today I want to go back and start with the beginning of our Bible and look at an important personage. We looked at many men as we looked at these important people in the Bible, and we looked at a few women, but I want to pick up a few more women as we go back into the Old Testament. And the first one, of course, would be Eve. She came from the side of Adam, and when we read from Genesis chapter 2, it says the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, it's obvious that when Adam looked at all of the creation that God had made, he couldn't find a help that was meet or in keeping with his needs. He couldn't find a companion. And so the Lord made him a companion, and he made that companion out of his side. Now, we all know that there's been a lot of teaching on how that Adam's wife came from his side, not from his feet to be stepped on, not from his head to lord it over her, but from his side so that they could be helpers and companions, and that they would be appropriate for each other and be a help to each other. And so we're thankful for the imagery that we have of that. But the point is that she was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. She was him and he was her. I don't understand that scientifically, but from a psychological standpoint, I can see that those of us who are married with good wives, they become such an integral part of our lives that if we're separated from them, we feel as though we've lost an arm or a leg, or in this case, maybe a rib. And so she was bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. And I believe Adam really loved her. And I believe that she was a beautiful woman, because we aren't going to spend a great deal of time on it. But Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. We read in 2 Timothy 2, "For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." And so what really happened was that she apparently knew all about the need to avoid the forbidden fruit in the midst of the garden, and she was deceived by Satan. She apparently was not in the presence of Adam when Satan approached her. Satan knew that in one sense, in this sense, she was the weaker vessel and that she would be more likely to be deceived than Adam. And so he chose that opportune time and the vessel that in a sense was not able to stand up to his subtlety, his lies. She was probably more, if we were to look at it in current day's language, she was probably more likely to believe what a person said and take them at face value than Adam would have been. And so Adam deceived her. And because he deceived her, she took of the forbidden fruit and then she gave it to Adam and he ate as well. But when Adam ate, he knew what he was doing. When Eve ate, she apparently did not. And so what that tells me is that this woman had to have been a beautiful woman. She had to have been somebody that really was attractive to Adam, because he knew that when he took of the forbidden fruit, there were going to be consequences, and those consequences involved losing their place in paradise. They had been naked, and they had not been ashamed, and we could go into all that that means as well. It seems like clothes came in with the sin issue, and clothes are either clothes that we try to clothe ourselves with, like the fig leaves that Adam and Eve used, or we wear the clothes that God gives to us now to cover our imperfections. And Adam and Eve were clothed with skins of animals, which speaks to us of the righteousness of Christ that clothes us when we are, as the Bible says, positionally in Christ because of our faith in Him. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We are seen as Christ is seen, and fortunately that's a good way to be seen, because otherwise we're seen in all of our sin and in all of our perfection, and before we're saved we are in our sins. So these clothes seem to have come in as a result of sin, and clothes have always been an important part of our social life ever since, and clothes are used often to attract people. They're used to cover us so that we can be modest. They're used in a seductive way in many cases. The clothes can be used in many different ways, but these clothes were clothes that God gave as a result of an animal dying, so that Adam and Eve could be clothed. But Adam knew that he was going to be bearing consequences when he partook of that forbidden fruit. And so I want to go back to the fact that she must have been a very, very attractive woman. And I don't mean attractive just in the physical sense. She must have been attractive to him in an emotional, in a psychological sense. Their minds must have been in agreement. They must have seen things alike. They must have enjoyed spending time together, communing together, until Satan came along and divided that union. And instead of being willing to let Eve be banished from the garden and staying there himself so he could enjoy paradise, he partook of the forbidden fruit knowingly. And that tells me that he loved her. He was willing to leave paradise in order to be with Eve. And he knew that there were going to be, I have no doubt that he knew there was going to be sorrow as a result of what he had done. And there was going to be a lot of consequences. He may not have known all those consequences because they were told about them after they were forced to leave the garden. But he chose Eve, his bride, over the place in paradise. Now, what does that tell us? Well, it's a picture of the love of Christ for his bride. He chose to come into this earth, and we've been looking at what the Lord did when he came as a babe and then went to a cross and died there and became the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief. We've looked at all of that, and the Lord was willing to leave paradise, to leave his Father's side, to leave heaven and come to earth as a babe in Bethlehem's manger and become a man and to suffer for our sins. He was willing to do that because he wanted a bride as well. And so those of us who are saved are precious in his sight. He's paid the bride price with his own blood. And just as Adam was willing to leave paradise and not lose his bride, we can see that in a sense it pictures to us the love of Christ in leaving paradise in order to gain a bride. And we who are saved are part of that bride, and I don't know why people are so opposed to the gospel when we find that in the gospel we see the love of God. We know people complain about God's vengeance upon unbelievers, upon those who reject him. But folks, think of his love for those who will accept him. We were his by the first creation. And when the Lord came into this earth, we who believe in him become a new creation. And we become the bride of Christ. And so Adam was not deceived. But he loved his bride and was willing to leave paradise in order to keep his bride Eve. And the Lord left paradise in order to gain a bride, the church. Eve, of course, suffered a great deal both in childbearing, and we know that we were told Mary would have her a sword would pierce her own heart also by Simeon when Simeon prophetically spoke to her after the Lord was born. But you have to look at Eve and realize that her heart had to be broken when Cain killed Abel. And we know that that story has to do with Cain's rebellion and Abel's proper worship. And Cain being the firstborn, he became the first murderer, and that had to break Eve's heart. So friend, as we look at Eve, we see a picture of one who made a mistake, but who was redeemed, covered with a robe of righteousness, and who was loved by her husband. And I just hope that today you understand too something of the love of God for you. I understand that, and I'm thankful for it in this new year. And as we go into this new year, I go into it in confidence that God, who was willing to give his son for me, will never leave me nor forsake me with regard to the practical affairs of life, and will, upon death or the Lord's return, take me to be with him in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that, and I just hope that you are too. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.